Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Now we're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we hear from his wondrous word.
Oh, me. Oh, me. Have you been in the stage of worship this morning? Have you been blessed already by what God has done? You know, that is great, but the best is yet to come when we can hear the word of God. Let's pray. Father, what a day. Oh, what a grand and glorious day that you have given us today. And Father, we pray as we have come into your house, Father, to praise and to worship you. Father, we pray and we thank you so much for the music that we've heard, Father. Dear Lord Jesus, for everything that you have done. And Father, that you placed this church in existence 4 years ago, Father. And Lord, it is still going and going strong. Thank you for the founding members, dear Lord Jesus. And we pray today that as some of them are here, Lord, that they will receive a blessing for being in your house. Father, every one of us comes with need for something, Father. We know that you can answer any prayer that we have. Father, we all have something and we all need something. But Father, we pray for that person today that needs Jesus. Father, we pray that, Lord, if there's one in our midst that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, they will ask somebody about my Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we pray for our pastor, Lord. Uplift Pastor Cal to you. Pray, Father, that you will just speak to him. Give him a fresh anointing, Father. Let us hear from him as we have never heard before. Use him, your servant, Father. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if Jesus has changed your life, shout amen.
Amen.
He's in the life-changing business, and he is still working on me. And he's still working on all of you all. I had somebody ask me this morning, say, Brother Cal, why have you got on a tie? And I never wear a tie. But when my mama was, she passed away about a year ago, and a little more than a year ago. And when she was able to come to church, whether she'd sit right down here in her wheelchair. And my second mama, Ms. Burchett's here. And she's got on an outfit that my mom gave her. And I've got a tie on for Mama. So, anyways, I don't know. I don't know what all that has to do with anything, but God's looking at my heart today. He's not looking at this tie. He's looking at our hearts. And I'm just so excited about what God's doing here today. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for being here today. There's still four or five little seats right over in here, and there's a couple down front. We got folks coming in late, but there's a couple over here, but thank y'all for being here today. If you are a founding member, if you are a founding member of this church, would you please stand? There's a few of you here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look what God's done. Well, I've got a message here I've been wanting to preach for about 4 weeks. And you're going to get to hear it today. Just pray that God blesses folks with it. And now I know we've been up and down, haven't we? And Brother Andrew, he'll understand one day when he's got knees like I've got. But let's all stand as we honor God's word one more time. And didn't our worship team do a great job praising the Lord today? Man, thank you, Brother Andrew, for putting that together. All right. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say, I'm looking at it on the screen. Help me, Jesus. All right. Genesis 5, 21. Enoch lived 65 years. and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. I'm using for a title today, Whatever Happened to Enoch? Where did old Enoch go? What happened to Enoch? So let's pray and ask God to bless. That was our campus pastor who read the scripture up here a few minutes ago. That's Derek, but he had to head south to Georgia to a conference, and but his daddy-in-law is with us. Jay, ask God to just bless the word today, would you?
Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for what we've already built in this place. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Bless Brother Cal now as he preaches your word to us. And Lord, we're longing for that day.
Yes.
Or not, because you're coming to take us. And I pray that all will be ready in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother. Please be seated. When you get to Genesis chapter 5, it's what I call the death chapter. And it's like taking a trip through a crowded morgue, or a stroll even through a dark cemetery. You've got here a death, there a death, everywhere there's death, death. It's all over the place. it was never God's intention for us to die physically. Did y'all know that? It was never what he wanted. But you remember what God told Adam? He said, you can eat from any tree in the garden that you want to eat, except do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely... And you remember what that old slick serpent said to Eve? What? You shall not surely die. Well, you all know the story. Adam and Eve ate. Now, they didn't die. Their spirit right then died immediately. But physically, they lived several hundred years on. But when you get to Genesis chapter 5, I mean, there is repetition. He lived, he died. He lived, he died. He lived, he died. I mean, the overall arching theme of Genesis 5 is he died, he died, he died. He died. When you read through that chapter, I mean, it's here a death, there a death, everywhere there's death, death. But all of a sudden, amidst all this death, there's a burst of light. And the seventh man from Adam did not die. He did not die. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But the Bible also says, in Adam all die, but hallelujah, in Christ all are made alive. And so we see this fantastic piece of scripture there in Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And there's a man that never did have to die. Wouldn't that be amazing? Some of y'all look half dead already. Come on now. Our folks still hadn't got used to me, but preaching is a dialogue, okay? It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And so you've got this man who never died, and he's the seventh man from Adam. Seventh man from Adam. Y'all do know that God has a number. His divine number is the number seven, which speaks of divine perfection. How many of you know he is holy, holy, holy? He is the divine seven. And so, who was this man? What was his name? Enoch. Enoch. Now, I've heard some people, Brother Jay, call him Enoch or whatever, but I call him Enoch. But Enoch is found here in Genesis chapter 5, again over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, and again over there in verses 14 and 15 of Jude. And when you put all these passages together about Enoch, you come to the conclusion of two things. Number one, Enoch did not die. And number two, it says in Genesis 5, 22 and 24 that Enoch walked with God. Now, there's only two men in your Bible who didn't die. One was Enoch. Who was the other? Elijah. That's right. And then there's a lot of people in the Scriptures who walked with God, but there's only two that's described as actually walking with God. One was Enoch. The other was not Elijah. It's just a few verses over. Noah. Noah walked with God. And I love that description of walking with God. That is a powerful portrayal of what it means, what the Christian life is really all about. What the believer's life was all about. Walking with God. You know, back in the day here, when we're reading from this, I mean, everybody, if you wanted to get somewhere, what'd you do? You walked. Jesus walked everywhere he went. Did you know that? And so, you know, the most common form of transportation in those days was walking. And that is a great description of the believer's life. It's not a sprint. You know, you'll see some people get born again and get saved. They're a ball of fire. And man, they're doing this and doing that. And in 6 months, they burned out. Listen, folks, the Christian life is a walk. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" Y'all with me so far? And so there's two characteristics of someone who's walking with God. Here they are. Number one, they have been reconciled to God. Anybody that's walking with God has been reconciled to God. They've been born again. They've been saved. They're following Christ. I mean, they've been reconciled to God. That's the first characteristic of someone who's walking with God. And then number two, their walk is characterized by obedience and intimacy with God. If I've got to wonder whether or not you're walking with God, or if you're wondering whether I'm walking with God, probably not, right? Because, I mean, everybody knows who you're walking with. I won't do it, okay. I was going to grab her by the hand and we were going to go for a stroll through the congregation today and just show you what walking with God looks like. So we won't go there. So, Enoch is a man that's walking with God. That's what I want to talk to you. And by the way, he's also a man that walked to heaven. How many of you like to walk to heaven today? You know what I've noticed? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. Can I get a witness? And so let me talk to you about where did Enoch go? What happened to Enoch? And so, I just want to give you three things you can hang your hat on this morning. Number one, walking with God brings salvation, first of all. Walking with God brings what?
Salvation.
So Genesis 5 and 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, so for 65 years, Enoch did not walk with God. He didn't. He walked in the ways of this world. Now, you need to know a little something about Enoch's day. The Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about it, but Enoch lived in a culture where you had commerce and industry and religion and music, a lot like our culture is today, but their culture, Enoch's culture, was a culture without God. And so for the first 65 years of Enoch's life, he's walking the way everybody else walked. He's on what I would call the highway to hell. You heard Billy, sometimes I'm too blunt. But let me tell you, you're either on one path or you're on the other. You're either on the highway to hell or you're on the highway to heaven. Right? I mean, that's what the Bible says. And so Enoch was... Now, here's something else that you need to wrap your head around. Enoch was on earth at the same time as Noah. They were contemporaries, okay? And the Bible does tell us a lot about the days of Noah. The days of Noah, Matthew tells us, were filled with violence and evil and wickedness. All kinds of stuff. And polygamy was big, and bigamy and bestiality and all the other alities. Y'all with me so far? Okay, and so it was a culture without God, and that's the way he was walking. That's the way Enoch was walking. And when you start talking about the days of Noah, it's characterized by four things: spiritual disruption. Excuse me, social disruption. Everybody was just kind of doing what they thought was best. Everybody just thought they would just do what they thought was right. That's all good and well, but folks, just because we've got an opinion doesn't mean it's right. And so everybody's just doing whatever. And you know, we're not living in the days of Noah, but it's much like the days of Noah. We are so divided. We've got social disruption. We're divided racially. We're divided socially. We're divided economically. We're divided religiously. We're divided politically. I said, we're divided politically. I mean, any measuring stick you want to use, we're divided. We are a nation and a country that is socially, we're under social disruption. But also the days of Noah were characterized by sexual perversion. Now, do I need to go in to that? You must be like an ostrich with your head under the ground if you don't see that going on. I mean, that's the way, but by the way, we didn't come up with that. They were doing that kind of stuff back in the days of Noah. Bestiality. Sex. Wild sex outside of marriage. I don't want to plant ideas in your mind, but brothers and sisters, we've got sex trafficking today. Our children are being molested. One out of three little girls today has now been molested. One out of four little boys. We're in a mess. We are sexually perverted in this nation. We are. Look at your neighbor and say, he's right. Now, so social disruption, sexual perversion. The days of Noah are also characterized by emotional confusion. Emotional confusion. No, nobody knew what to do. And everybody's filled with fear and anxiety and doubt. And can there be any doubt that that's where we are today? I mean, the prescription pill epidemic. I wished I had a percentage on how many folks are on pain medication today. And if you're on pain medication and you need it, God bless you, take it. That's why they make it. All right? Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. But brothers and sisters, the counseling centers are full. You can't even hardly get in to see a counselor. And by the way, everybody in this room would be healthier if we got some good Christian counseling from time to time. Nothing wrong with being under. Bible says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so you've got emotional confusion. And then fourth, you've got spiritual rebellion. You know who's on the throne in America today? It's not God, it's humanity. Humanism. All that. I know you didn't come to hear this today, but I'm just giving you some gospel truth because what I want you to get your head and your hand, just wrap your heart around, is that we are living in the days of Noah. It's just like it was in Enoch's day. We're living in a culture without God. And so for 65 years, Enoch is walking in the ways of the world. He's not walking with God. Well, what happened to him? Well, he had something happen to him in his life that it was life change. Did you catch that? Enoch lived 65 years, and what happened? Now, he didn't actually have the baby, you know, but he had a firstborn son by the name of Methuselah. I, as a pastor, I have seen this happen over and over again. A couple will get married, and then they get hot for God. You know when that happens? Oh, they'll kind of stay out of church, away from things for a little while. But when they have that baby, they begin to understand, you know what? I'm responsible for their spiritual upbringing. And they get them in church. Last Sunday, we dedicated three baby boys. Who? Theodore Rex. My buddy T-Rex. Cash. Sellers and Xavier. I mean, it was a wonderful thing, but all three of those couples have come to an understanding, we got to get right with God. And they're in the church and they're looking to serve God. Teresa brought the biggest birthday cake you've ever seen today. And some of y'all are going to get some of it a little bit later. I think partially that's what happened here. Enoch had a child, but Dr. Alfred Jones, in his Dictionary of Hebrew Proper Names, get this. Names back in the day, as Billy said this morning, meant something. Methuselah compound proper name. Muth means to die, and Salah, not Selah, but Salah means to sin. Methuselah's name literally means when he dies, I will send it. I think supernaturally, Jude 14 and 15, we'll look at that in just a minute, but I think somehow God had revealed to Enoch that judgment was coming. And when your son dies, I'm going to send this worldwide judgment to the earth. What was that? That's right, the flood. How do you know? Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All the thoughts of mankind's heart, only evil continually. And the Lord was, listen to this, was sorry that he'd even made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Wow. Wow. And so somehow God revealed to Enoch supernaturally that when Methuselah dies, I'm going to send this judgment. Worldwide judgment. Now, up until this day, those folks didn't even know what rain was. Y'all with me? They didn't know what thunder and lightning and clouds building up and rain and thunderstorms. They didn't know what all that was. But they found out, didn't they? And I'll talk just a little bit later on here. Now, we're going to provide a big meal for y'all here in just a little while. And so, we're not in any rush today. The Holy Spirit's not done in 28 minutes, okay? So, just hang in here with me. We're going somewhere together. And so, Enoch began walking with God after the birth of this firstborn son. And I think part of that had to do with the judgment that was coming. I think every time Enoch saw Methuselah sneeze or had... You know, his nose was dripping. I think cold chills ran through Enoch's bones. Whew. So, the question I think probably we need to answer is how did Enoch wind up walking with God? It plainly says in verse 22, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And so how did Enoch get off of the highway to hell and get on the highway to heaven? In other words, how did he begin walking with God? Well, walking with God begins with salvation. Enoch got born again. Enoch got saved. Life-changing experience of having that firstborn son. God revealed his grace to him. How was he saved? By grace through faith. How do you know that? Cross wasn't even in view yet. Well, look at verse 8. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. So Enoch was saved, just like Noah was. And then Hebrews 11, 5 says that Enoch through faith. And so you've got this two-sided coin of salvation, the grace of God and faith in the Lord God as your only means of salvation. Only way you can be saved is by the grace of God and through faith in Him and Him alone as your only means of salvation. That's the way they were saved in Enoch's day. How were people saved in Abraham's day? By grace through faith in God. How were people saved later on in the Old Testament? By grace through faith. How were people saved in the New Testament? By grace through faith in God. How were people saved today? By grace through faith in Christ Jesus. How will people be saved in the millennium, in the thousand years? By grace through faith. Never been any other way. And so at the age of 65, bless God, Enoch got off of the highway to hell and he got on the highway to heaven. Preach. We got a baby preaching. Here's the second thing, though, that I want you to see. Walking with God doesn't just entail and begin with salvation. It builds sanctification. I don't want to throw a big Bible word on you, but sanctification simply means this work of growing in godliness, being set apart to the Lord, growing up, maturing spiritually. I said maturing spiritually. Now, we've already talked about how Enoch got on the right path, how he got saved. So, who taught him how to walk with God? I'm so glad you asked. You know how old Enoch was? Well, let me put it like this. Adam was only 622 years old when his grandson Enoch was born. And how long did Adam live? 930 years. You do the math. Enoch had his granddaddy on earth with him for 308 years. And don't you just know that Adam, Enoch's great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, had a big influence on him? You know he did. I mean, can't you just see this? This would make for a great movie. I mean, Enoch is sitting there with his granddaddy, and he said, "Granddaddy, tell me about the good old days." Come on, you country music fans. Lord, have mercy. Let me go over here. Tell me about the good old days, Granddaddy. I mean, tell me about when you used to walk with God in the garden, in the cool of the day. And don't you know that right then, Granddaddy's heart just jumped a little bit and said, "Oh, son, grandson, he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we as we tarry there, none other has ever known." And so he had mentors to teach him how to walk with God. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, let me say this. Well, let's just go there. I hadn't read it to y'all yet. We need to read Hebrews 11:5. We've got three people turning in their Bibles to Hebrews 11:5. There it is up there. Ellen has spoiled y'all rotten. Hebrews 11:5. Here it is. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had..." Now watch this. Listen, lean in. Are y'all ready for this? Oh, you're not ready. Listen to this. "For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." He pleased God. And so he learned how to please God. How did he learn how to please God? Well, again, I'm glad you asked. And by the way, can I just ask you this question? Are you walking with God? Well, if you are, does your walk please God? Does it? How do we know if we're pleasing God? Sanctification. Walking with God builds sanctification. Growing in godliness means that you've got to have a life of devotion. Billy's going to jump up and shout and run all over the building. Y'all, I'm like a broken record. But if you're walking with God, you've got to have a life of devotion. And every time, you know, have you ever heard from God? Are you walking with Him? Is He talking to you? Let me tell you, God speaks to you right here. Every time you get in God's Word, He'll speak to you. That's how He speaks to us. I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. Now, some of the rest of y'all may have, but I never have. Because I'm so stinking emotional, God knows I probably couldn't handle that. But He speaks louder than that. He speaks to me every time I'm in God's Word. And when I'm in God's Word, it tells me what pleases Him. And then I can be obedient, you see. Y'all tracking with me now? And so get into the Word of God. Don't wait for Sunday school. Don't wait for the preaching service. Get into the Word of God for yourself. And allow God to speak to you. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And then, of course, God speaks to us in His Word. And we speak to him in Luke 18:1. Anybody know that verse? Men ought to always pray and not lose heart. And so we're to be in the Word of God, and we're to be in prayer. Bible study and prayer. Wally Burchett called me last week, and I told Wally, I said, he was looking for some good devotional material. And by the way, that's a good sign that Wally's saved. All right? And so he wanted me, he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I read the Bible, but I've got a thing called the Everyday Bible. And so he bought one of those on Amazon. You know, you can get about anything on Amazon. Some of it's good, some of it's not. But anyways, he texted me a few days later. He said, I'm doing what you're doing. He said, I'm in the Word. Get in the Word of God. Start praying, seeking God's face, and it'll change your life. Listen, if God will walk with me, He'll walk with anybody. It's a life of devotion, but it's also a life of separation. Separation. That's the word that most Baptists causes Baptists to fall out in hives. Can I just make a statement right here? God hadn't called us to be like them. He's called us to be like Him. If you don't get anything else, get that today. God hadn't called us to be like everybody else. Not them, but Him. He's called us to be like Him. Are y'all tracking with me on that now? Okay. It's a life of separation. Now, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Diana and Derek and Jan and I were talking about this the other night. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be building relationships with folks so that we can get them to Jesus. You mean we've got ulterior motives? Yes, we do. Because after all, has Jesus done anything for you? Well, we want Him to do for them what He's done for us. And He will. Isn't that what Sarah was singing about? Okay, so separation. And when you come to Christ, so we got to be building relationships, but we got to let some things go when you come to Christ. Let me put it like this. I'm a graduate of Barksdale Elementary School. Only took me 7.5 years. No. But anytime us guys had a little extra time, do you know what we wound up doing? We'd get a sheet of paper and we'd fold that thing 2 or 3 times and then up and down and all around, fold the flap in, and then you had a paper football. Oh boy. Y'all remember that? Yeah. And so you would challenge somebody to a game of paper football, and your opponent, your enemy, would get on the other side of the table, and you'd put that paper football flat down on the table, and then you would just kind of thump it a little bit, and that thing would begin to spin, and if that paper football wound up the other end of the table, half on, half off, 6! Touchdown! And then your opponent had to make a field goal like this. And then you would kick that paper football. You can tell it took me a long time to get through school, right? Paper football. And I had big dreams, Bubba. I was not only going to be the 6th grade paper football champion, I was going to be the paper football champion of Barksdale Elementary School. I was going to wipe them all out. And then I had plans. Well, you know what? I think I want to be the paper football champion of Clarksville, Tennessee. I was going to be the paper football, and I mean, these aspirations and dreams just kept rolling. But something happened in the 7th grade. I started playing real football at Greenwood Junior High School. Real football. I mean, I got a helmet, some shoulder pads, and a uniform, and some cleats. Have mercy. And you know something? When I started playing real football, tackle football, I never went back to playing paper football again. And that's the way it is. When you get to walking with Jesus, is so sweet. And you just, the things that used to be important are no longer important. The things that weren't important are now paramount. And can I just tell you, I've gotten far more in my walk with Jesus than anything I've had to walk away from. And being a believer, brothers and sisters, it's not about a list of things you don't do. It's about who you are and the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. Somebody give me a, yeah. And so, walking with God builds sanctification, and it's a life of devotion. It's a life of separation. Here's the last one. Turn to Jude 14, verses 14 and 15. Now, Jude is the little book right before the book of the Revelation. It's a life of proclamation. Look at verse 14. Now Enoch, Jude 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. That word there means proclaim, preach. About these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints. What's He talking about there? He's talking about rapture. He's talking about the second coming. And then He says, to execute, what did He preach? Here's His sermon. Are you ready for this? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Woo! You see, I think God somehow revealed to Enoch that judgment's coming. And I think this message was for those who would have to go through the flood. But did you know there were only 8 people that got on the ark? Everybody else died. Noah, his 3 boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their 4 wives. They were the only 8 righteous people. They were the only 8 people on the planet that were walking with God. And by the way, this is just for, I just thought, Methuselah lived how long? 969 years. In other words, for almost 1,000 years, God extended grace for as many that wanted to come walk with Him. God's a God of grace, and He's been waiting on some of you. And so Jude is a preacher, and he's preaching judgment. And can I just tell y'all, I'd much rather preach on some ooey-gooey, lovey-dovey stuff, but we got to preach the whole counsel of God. We have to. And he mentions ungodly several times there. And basically what he's doing is he's telling folks, you need to get right with God because He's coming. And there's going to be a day when you meet Him. In other words, you got to get on, you're on the wrong highway. You need to get on the right way. He's calling people sinners. Oh, Pastor, you can't call anybody a sinner today. Why not? You'll offend them. Well, where are you going to run them off to? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? I'm so thankful. Somebody told me, my pastor, Dr. John David Lida, when I was a 9-year-old boy, was talking about the prodigal son down at Montgomery Bell State Park. And you know what? I grew up in a Christian home, but I realized I was that prodigal son. Thank God somebody told me that I was wrong. God was right. And so Enoch is a proclaimer. He's a preacher. And he's preaching. He's preaching hell's hot, sin's black, judgment sure, but God saves. And you know what? I just wonder if we didn't have 10,000 leather lung preachers all across the state of Tennessee preaching sin's hot, judgment sure. But Jesus saves. I just wonder if we'd be in the mess we're in. Well, Brother Cal, you can't raise up 10,000 preachers. Yeah, but what about y'all? Y'all are preachers. Y'all are proclaimers. You don't have to have an ordained pastor to preach the word, to share the word. We're supposed to be witnesses. Well, that's what happens when folks start proclaiming the word. Now, let me just quickly say this. Let me just give a plug for Billy Walker's an expository Bible teacher. And I'm an expository preacher. And I've preached a bunch of topical sermons. But I think the best way to teach our people Sunday in and Sunday out is to take a text, a particular passage of Scripture, and deal with it. Bring in other supporting Scriptures, but deal with that text. Give an explanation and an application. In other words, tell folks, what did the biblical author say here? What does this passage of Scripture tell us? And then, what does it mean for us today? Explanation, application. And that's the best way to teach folks. And by the way, you can't do expository teaching, you can't do expository preaching with a 10-minute sermonette. And you know what sermonettes make, right? Christianettes. Who live in kitchenettes. And dress like majorettes. And look like Marie Antoinette. You know? I've got a few other ets, but we'll let that go. When Mama was alive, Miss B, you know, we lived with her 5 years ago for 8 months. And man, it was good and it was tough watching her go downhill. And then when we started and planted this church, she joined here and would come when she could get here. And, you know, I found myself from time to time just bearing my soul to Mama. And we'd be sitting at the table and I'd say, Mama, she'd say, how is things going at the church? She always asked me that. And I'd say, well, Mom, we've got this and this and this and this coming up, and I'm not sure if we're going in the right direction, and I don't know that I'm preaching what you know, sometimes I just, you know, preachers are like everybody else. We're wondering if we're doing any good, if we're making any count. And you know what Mama always told me the last 5 years of her life? She said, son, just preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep proclaiming the love that Christ Jesus has for lost people. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. You see, Billy said it right in Sunday school. If there's no conviction about sin in your life, you can't be born again. You can't be saved. But I want to tell you what, there's a lot of folks. You start talking about things, and by the way, they're rubbing elbows with you through the week. And they see you going through tough times and trials and tribulations and trouble. And then tragedy hits them and they say, how did you weather that storm back there? How did you navigate those days? How did you do that? Well, let me tell you. And before long, they're going to get what you got. Are y'all with me? And so growing in godliness, walking with God, builds sanctification. It's a life of devotion. It's a life of separation. And it's a life of proclamation. But bless God, here's what I wanted to get to. Walking with God bestows or brings glorification. There's one little girl in the back that got it. Y'all, this is not all there is. Look, yeah, thank goodness is right, sis. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. God took Enoch. I don't completely understand all that, but I think it's a picture of rapture. Y'all know we talk about the rapture? We talk about the rapture? Well, it's going to happen. And it's that you won't find rapture in the Bible. But you won't find strawberry cake covered dish in Sunday school in the Bible either. Okay? And the Latin Vulgate says, Vulgate uses this verb called snatched away, taken up. The word taken comes from the word took in Hebrews 11 and also in it's the word metatithemi. Metatithemi. Oh, I know you're glad you came to hear that. But here's what that word means. We're talking about, it's a musical term. And you're taken from one key to a higher key. Amen. Enoch was raptured. And by the way, they went looking for him. So they missed old Enoch. Old oddball judgment preaching Enoch. They went looking for him and he wasn't found. Are they going to miss you when you're gone? Have mercy. There's another sermon. Okay. We know that two things are going to happen soon and very soon. I believe that. And one of those is rapture. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 16:17 that, you know, when your loved one dies, if they're walking with Jesus, they're born again, everything that makes them, them, their body goes to the grave when they die. But where does their spirit go? Where does their soul go? It goes to be with Jesus, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And so one of these days, on this great getting up morning, Jesus is coming back for His bride, for His church. And He's going to shout. The Lord Himself will shout. And then you're going to hear the voice of the archangel. And then there'll be a trumpet blast. Woo! And those who have already died in Christ, graves, Jesus coming down off the throne on a cloud, and He's bringing all these saved loved ones of ours with Him, with their spirit, and all the dead in Christ, all those folks who have died in Christ, the graves are going to open up, and their bodies are going to be reunited with their spirit, and they're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see my daddy-in-law flying through the air. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. We call that resurrection. I went after dying, and I'll get through here in just a minute, I promise. I know y'all are not used to these, you know, long sermons, but after Mom died, Miss Burchett, me and Diana didn't want our family to be burdened with funeral arrangements and all that stuff. And so we went down to the funeral home and got all that took care of. And then we went out to Rest Haven, Pawpaw, and we were going to try to find a couple of burial plots out there, but the Stokeses had bought up already half the cemetery. And so we couldn't find a place to be buried beside you, so we went to Greenwood. And we pulled up there at the Greenwood Cemetery, and we went inside, and there's this little lady sitting behind the desk, and she said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, you can." She said, "Well, what can I do for you?" And I said, "My wife and I are here, and we want to rent a couple of burial plots." That's what I told her. And she said, "You want to rent?" I said, "Yeah, I'm not planning on being there very long." And then she said, "Well, who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm really nobody, but my Jesus is coming to get me one day, and He's somebody." And my daddy, my earthly daddy, was Dr. Jim Hampton and Barbara Hampton. Y'all just buried her a few days ago over here at Greenwood in that last, "Oh, I know who you are." She said, "Cal, you're not going to find any burial plots over there in that section of Greenwood Cemetery. They're all taken up." I said, "Well, could you just look? God is so good." You know what? There were two burial plots left. And she said, "Well, now, you know your brother-in-law is one of our trustees." And she said, "Shan's been talking about getting those burial plots." And I said, "Well, bless God. He's the son-in-law. I'm the son." And so Dad and I have two burial plots, but we ain't going to be that long because Jesus is coming. It may be resurrection. It may be rapture. Jerry Vines was preaching on this passage, Billy, gosh, 25 years ago, and I was listening to it, and he was talking about rapture, you know. And so he had these two ladies from his church in the hospital, and they were in the same room together. And so he goes up, knocks on the hospital door, and they said, "Who is it?" And he said, "It's Dr. Vines. It's your pastor." "Oh, come on in." And so Dr. Vines came in. Both those ladies are sitting there, and they're kind of giggling. And he said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Oh, Pastor, we've just been sitting here talking about the rupture of the church. God help us. But you know, that's true. That's true. Can you imagine? Whether it's resurrection or rapture, those of us that are still here, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Christ comes. And we're going to get a body. You see, your body and my body's not ready for heaven. It's cursed with sin. And so we need a new body. We need a body like Jesus. And Jesus is going to take care of that. And those who are dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're going to get a body like Jesus. And if you're still here when the rapture happens, and it's going to happen, you're going to get a body like Jesus. And bless God, you're going to be changed. And you're going to be like Him. Hallelujah is right. Well, can you imagine? Oh, Enoch. He's 365 years old. He's got sons and daughters. And one minute, all of a sudden, God takes him. One minute, he's here. The next minute, he's there. One minute, he's walking down here. The next minute, he's walking in glory. One minute, he's breathing air down here. The next minute, he's breathing celestial air. One minute, he's here on planet Earth. The next minute, he's in glory. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? It's going to happen. And whether or not you're walking with God or not determines where you're going to spend eternity. Well, I need to wrap this up. All right, listen to me. Enoch and God, everybody listen. Enoch and God are out walking together. Walking with God. Y'all with me? And God looks at Enoch and says, you know what, Enoch? We're closer to my house than we are to your house. Why don't you just come on home with me and stay the night? And Enoch must have said something like, okay. And brothers and sisters, Enoch is still there because there's no more night in heaven. Oh, didn't but six of y'all get that? He is there. He is right there. And we're going to see old Enoch again. Oh, just a few more days to be filled with praise. And to tell the old, old story when twilight falls and the Savior calls. We're going to go to Him in glory. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to go back to my original question. Are you walking with God? Are you? Are you really walking with God? Well, it begins with salvation. And in a crowd this large, I promise you, there are folks here that are not walking with God. You're on the wrong highway, friend. And you need to do like Enoch did and allow God to do what only He can do. You need to just turn to Him by faith. And if you're wondering about that, that's the grace of God working in your life right now. That's God wooing. The Holy Spirit's pulling on you. That's God speaking to you. And you know that you know that you know that you need to begin walking with God. You know that you need Him. And if you'd just be willing to say with all of your heart today, Father, I'm a sinner. I've made a mess of things. But I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life. He's the Son of God. And He died for all my sins. And I believe He's alive today. And it's best I understand it. Lord, I'm calling on you to save me today. Do that right now, right there in your seat. Do that right now. Pray that salvation prayer. Begin your walk with God today. And maybe there's some believers here, and you're really not walking with God. You know it, and God knows it. Folks, He could show up today. And then you've got to answer questions. Why am I not walking with God like I ought to? How come I'm not pleasing Him? Are you pleasing God? Does your walk please the Lord? Does it? You got to get real with Him. And you need to ask God to forgive you and crown Him King of Kings in your heart of hearts today. I'm going to pray for both crowds of folks. And we're going to open up this altar here. And what I mean by that is we're going to give all of you a chance to respond to whichever way, whichever prayer, whatever you need to do. And I'm going to pray for you. But before you do, before I do, if you'd like to pray to receive Christ and get on the right road, I want you to just look up at me. Everybody else has got their head down and their eyes closed. Look right up here at me. Just look at me. Look at me. I see you. Anybody else? Now, this is the first and only time, if you really mean business with God, that you need to do this. And you pray a prayer right where you're sitting, about like I was talking. Just agree with God about your sin. Turn from your sin. Receive His forgiveness. And call on Him to save you as your only means of salvation. Now, if you do that, I want to talk to you in just a moment. And you need to come forward to do that. We got some folks that will pray with you. We want to get some stuff in your hands and get you started right. Father, even now, you're in the business of walking with people. So God, like Enoch, began at the age of 65. I believe there's folks here that need to begin walking with you. Begin a life of faith that begins in grace. And whatever begins in grace, Father, always ends in glory. And so I pray that salvation decisions are being made right here. And for those of us that are saved, God, there are periods in my life when I was not pleasing to you. I wasn't living a life of devotion and separation and proclamation. Please, God, minister life to my brothers and sisters. We've got to be ready for your return. And we do that by the way we're walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.